because Angelika Müller is currently the head of the official relations unit at the International Labour Organization. She has degrees both in comparative labor law and international human resources management. Working at the ILO for some years now, she has specialized in policy advice on labor law reforms, governance, tripartism, and social dialogue. She collaborates, has collaborated and still collaborates with the ILO Training Center in Turin, as well as the United Nations Institute for Training and Research. And we are very happy to have her here because she's a prominent expert, having looked at many of these laws in different countries also outside of the European Union.
Thank you very much, Matthias. And also, like Maria, I really would like to thank you for this opportunity to be with you. It's also a very nice opportunity for me to work again with Maria, but also to see all these friends from the former labor law networks. Again, I also, like Maria, I would like to make some disclaimer in the sense that even if I continue to work in the ILO, now I'm not anymore in charge of these issues. And just this is like our result of our research and reflection for our past research. And personally, I was working more than 10 years on the employment protection legislation and labor law reforms in all the regions of the world. And it's really very nice to be with you. And also just to say that how it's really like win-win situation when you can find an economist like Maria, when you can really an economist who tries to understand our laws to be clear for lawyers, because very often we don't understand what they are saying, and also really try to combine economic and social consents to go to move together. And it was a very nice opportunity before for me with Maria to work on these issues. And it's really important to highlight, like, any policy debate and any even research, it always like this. First, we speak about economy, about money, and only after about labor law reform. So, like, from lawyers' perspectives, we have to accept this. It's like this because first we speak about money, and after we'll speak about all other more abstract things like legal rules. However, for me, it's really like something any research should be intersectional, but also really multidisciplinary, because we cannot just speak about laws in abstract, but also we cannot just speak about economics without thinking about social aspects of the human lives in the society. So just maybe some words. Of course, representing International Labour Organization, I'll mention some international labour standards. Of course, we'll speak also about some reforms, in particular through tripartite social dialogue, and about comparative labor law research, which was done in the ILO. And I see that, like most of, at least lawyers I know, that you know that we are all very big specialists in all these issues. So it's I will not go into details, but also we don't have time to speak really in details about things. When we speak about the topic of employment protection legislation, of course, we need to speak about international labor standards. And we know that we have our main convention and recommendation, Convention 158 and Recommendation 166. Of course, we have some other instruments to protect trade unions' representative from unfair dismissal or to protect women on maternity leaves. I will not speak about these details. And it's really important to understand what happens with this Convention 158 and Recommendation 166. Some years ago, it was a very big process initiated in the ILO to review the status of international labor standards. And at that time, there were like less conventions, but to give you an idea, out of 200 conventions, only one, Convention 158, on which the employers and workers groups could not agree on the status, just to decide if it's a convention up to date or need to be revised. And it shows that only one topic about termination of employment was so controversial that employers and workers group in the ILO could not decide on the status of this convention. And it shows that it's really maybe like that's why the most controversial issue in labor law topics. Very often, there is some reference to the level of ratification. This convention was not ratified very largely, only like by 35 countries. However, just to say that at the time, like in the 90s, there are many other ILO conventions with a not very high level of ratification. So it should not be like the one of the like criteria to assess the popularity of this convention. And the problem that we see, like even in Switzerland, you have not ratified a lot of ILO conventions. And you should understand that in the ILO, really, we can obtain a high level of ratifications if there are really promotional campaigns of the ILO. However, like for Convention 158, the fact that it's no agreement between employers and workers about what to do with this convention, it means that this convention are used, we refer in our publications. However, this convention is not at all promoted by ILO colleagues in countries. So that's why this convention remains valid, and the ILO Committee of Experts says that this convention is very balanced. It's really to take into account interest of workers and employers. However, you should understand this particular status of this instrument on termination of employment. However, I have read the labor codes of almost all 187 ILO member states, and even if not all countries have ratified this convention, I could read in dozens and dozens of labor codes, some provisions which really like even replicate word by word some provisions of convention and recommendation on termination of employment. So there is some influence on national legislations which goes beyond ratification. And also some we have seen like in some countries, like in Belgium, they have not ratified, but very regularly their national jurisprudence judges refer to ILO standards as good practices because they are a result of the tripartite consensus at the international level, because they were adopted at the International Labour Conference. Just maybe some national reforms. What we have seen, but of course I cannot like be expert with like absolutely accurate data for the last years. However, what we saw, it was some reforms after the economic crisis in 2000 and 2009. There were really like a wave of reforms in all the regions concerning employment protection legislation, and in particular collective dismissals. However, what we've seen that like more it was about fixed term contracts. At like main focus was, and with Maria also, we published something about fixed term contracts, because finally, if we really compare, it was like more reforms about and more debate about fixed term contracts, because very often when the contract is terminated, no need to discuss about procedures for dismissals. It's finished. And even now when I see like after it was, no major reform, sometimes always these discussions about employee protection legislation, is it strict or not. However, it was discussions, but not a lot of reforms. However, now with like after the COVID, as your figures showed, now we really see that it will be several layoffs, how they call it in the United States of America, but also like collective redundancy. We see a wave of collective redundancies now coming now in Europe and in other regions. Of course, like there are several reforms, but of course we cannot say like all reforms go in one direction. There is always exceptions. However, like I'll give you just like main, but very big trends. But again, please be aware that when we speak about comparative labor law research, it's really, especially for laws, you can never say this, because always there are exceptions. Always there is something different. So for me, like for lawyers, it's very difficult to say something because to be accurate, we always want to say, finally, you cannot say this because there is this exception, for this country like this in this region differently. But of course, like main reforms now, it's going how to limit strictness of employment protection legislation. If you speak about like definition of collective dismissals, of course, we speak like technological, economic, etc. And like definition of quantity, how many people to be dismissed in which period. And for instance, like in the United Kingdom, it was a reduced period from going from 90 days to go to 30 days, some level of number of workers to be dismissed. Or in some countries, like it was in Kyrgyzstan, going from 15% of workers up to 51. So all the time try to see how collective dismissals can be defined differently because there are several procedures which are triggered by collective dismissals. Like Matthias already mentioned, and is like the main two ideas of the ILO Convention 158 and Recommendation 166, it's information of workers' representatives. And in most countries, especially in Europe, like the question is now not just inform, but also consult. And of course, the devil is in details. And in particular, there are some countries like France, they have extremely complex situation when for which enterprise, how many months to provide information, how many weeks we need to wait before discuss, before consult, etc. So ideas have how to inform workers' representative, how to consult with them without creating what we call in French, usine à gaz, like something extremely complex. Notification to competent authorities in main countries, as Maria mentioned, very often it will be some problems of unemployment in the region. That's why competent authorities can help with some training programs and some other support. And in very, very small number of countries, we have approval by competent authorities. Mainly it's like in the Middle East, in some African countries, and in some countries it can be like source of corruption for public officials who authorize this. But in many countries, just it's like, we can say very often it's formal approval. Competent authorities have to give their approval, but it's very small number of countries with this kind of approval by competent authorities of the collective dismissals. But however, like the Netherlands, but again, they have very specific and very complex system how the judge also can is in charge of authorizing collective dismissals. So you can see that even in Europe, in a developed country like the Netherlands, they have specific procedure when competent authorities are in charge of giving their approval to collective dismissals. But again, you can never say just like this. You really need to go to read, and just believe me, it's very difficult to understand legal systems of other countries. It's really require a lot of efforts to read a lot of documents. And very often you understand the words, but when you see what is the reality behind each regulation, it's really something complex, as it makes a very difficult any legal comparison. Of course, we have some special measures to avert or minimize dismissals. It's like employer's duty to search alternatives, and it's criteria for selection for workers. Still, some countries, they have like last in, first out. However, the main tendency now is to multiply criteria, not only productivity, which was very popular to be added as a criteria for selection of workers for redundancy some like 10 years ago. Now the idea is to have several criteria, but also these criteria are to be decided by collective bargaining. And priority of rehiring, not a lot of countries, they have this, that during some period, workers may be rehired back, and the main tendency is to reduce this period when the employer is obliged to call back dismissed workers. But just to give you some idea about like everything is really by regions, because regions also they have legal traditions. But if we look like at the big for all countries in the world, you see like in majority countries, you have law defines collective dismissals and prescribes specific procedures. After middle, like more light green, it's the law does not define collective dismissals, but prescribe specific procedures. And on the right, green, very light, it's nothing. And if you look, developed economies in European Union, almost all countries, they have a definition of collective dismissals and procedures. The situation is more or less like this in Central and Eastern Europe. And after in Africa, again, already it's, we see that more countries without specific definitions of collective dismissals. In Asia, it's even less. You go to Latin America, more and more countries without any regulations for collective dismissals. And if you look at the Middle East countries, no one country defining collective dismissals and prescribing specific procedures. So you see, like legal traditions are really important. And of course, like you are all specialists, and I can only concur what Maria said, that of course, like can law help avoid collective dismissals? And what we have seen that the law is not in charge of creating employment or helping preventing collective dismissals. We really need to consider legal provisions, ideally to have some reference to national traditions, but also international labor standards. And what I have really seen important that like national traditions, legal traditions are really coming back. Sometimes you have some reforms imposed from outside. And finally, if there is some social dialogue in the country, it's very often there are really, really major reforms unless they're imposed from outside. And for the ILO, of course, very important to say that it's really up to each country to decide through tripartite social dialogue. And policy advice of international organizations. Before it was World Bank, but also IMF, giving some advice which can be in some point in contradiction with international labor standards and with policy advice provided by the ILO. And also it was some collaboration with OECD. However, all these economic institutions, we try to collaborate. However, in practice, we see that it's really not easy. Like all these financial institutions, they have clearly a very strong mandate from the financial point of view. And despite the adherence to ILO standards, policy advice and practice is slightly different. Just to also refer that we have some IPLEX ILO database about protection legislation, but just to inform you that comparison is very difficult because with Maria, I remember how like for years we discussed and with my other colleagues, lawyers, when you try to compare, you must forget several details. You must simplify. And finally, it's really sometimes very not even just to decide finally, Switzerland, it's a flexible employment protection legislation or not. And very often there is some subjectivity because believe me, you take OECD indicators or you take some other indicators, for sure you can, some countries you can put them in different categories. It's really some simplification subjectivity which really prevents you. Please pay attention, it's very difficult to compare. And also rankings, before it was doing business, which was really, and so finally, so contested ranking that it was even like abandoned, in particular for employing workers. OECD remains like a reference. However, with Maria also, we worked with, when she was with us in ILO, we worked with this OECD. Again, also there are several things to speak, to say about the methodology. However, people like rankings, but again, here you'll see for Switzerland, it's never easy to rank. As it's why in the ILO, finally, you abandon this idea to rank countries. It's impossible to do it honestly and to give you something meaningful. It's impossible to make a classification of laws, just to say good, not good, flexible, strict. And just to say that we continue like some references to international labor standards for this reform, but again, for all these issues about employment protection legislation, it remains highly controversial. There are sometimes some attempts to make some ideas about not to forget social aspects when you reform labor law on different, and we have some references in the ILO resolution adopted in the International Labor Conference on different topics. However, this topic remains very controversial and employers and workers cannot agree on the main directives to provide to ILO member states. The new ILO Director General has been launching a global coalition for social justice and to be launched hopefully this year. And one of the ideas is to put again to gain World Bank, IMF, OECD, all people to do something together, including research, including policy advice for social justice. And this for sure, since it's like at work level, for sure it will be something about employment protection legislation. Thank you very much, colleagues.